Matthew 21:12-17. Then Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who were selling and buying in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he cured them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the amazing things that he did, and heard the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became angry and said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself?'" He left them, went out to the city, to Bethany, and spent the night there. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hosanna in the highest. This is our Palm Sunday. We are ending our Lenten journey, wave the palm branches. Our time together of Lent, of preparation, of reflection, of fasting as we approach Holy Week. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, on this Palm Sunday, we hear this message. And I ask, Lord, that the message reflect your will, your way, and your truth for us. And Lord, that we reflect in ourselves how the word speaks to us, how the word calls us, and how we can draw closer to you, Lord, through the word. In your Son's name, amen. So Hosanna, blessed is the highest, is he who comes in the name of the Lord. These were the wonderful words that were spoken on that first Palm Sunday by the people as Jesus entered Jerusalem. They call it Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Imagine the scene where Jesus is near Jerusalem and he sends his disciples out saying, "Go into a village ahead of me and you will find a donkey tied with her colt. Untie them and bring them both to me. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you taking this?' say that the Lord needs them and he will send them immediately." So the disciples, they did just this, and Jesus then rode on the donkey into Jerusalem. He was fulfilling the words of the prophet, saying, "Look, the Lord your King is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey." The disciples did this, and as Jesus then entered Jerusalem, people began to lay their cloaks on the pathway before the donkey. And then they had palm branches, and they were waving and cheering for him, and shouting these words, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." It was a great entry. It was a great introduction. It showed how many people had loved and were praising Jesus. It was a wonderful time, a great celebration. But then imagine what Jesus did next, and that's the focus of this morning's scripture passage. He had this wonderful, this triumphant entry, the recognition of his holiness, the praising of his name and the work that he had been doing. You think he would then sort of build up on that and do more great and amazing things. But one of the first things he does immediately after that in this morning's passage is he enters the temple and he begins to, they say, drive out all the people that were selling and buying in the temple. He was angry. He wasn't happy and triumphant. He wasn't relying on that successful entry into Jerusalem. Instead, they say he began overturning the tables and telling the money changers that they were doing wrong. It's as if, what if after worship service, when the UMW are selling all their wonderful baked goods, if some of us went in there and started overturning their tables and stomping on those Rice Krispie treats and putting in the trash the Lame Fun that's always popular. What if we did that and chastised them? What reaction would we get? But Jesus was doing that. He was overturning the tables. He was charging the money chargers. He was telling them not to sell doves. For he said to them, "For it is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer.' But you are making it a den of robbers." Jesus dared tell them this. He dared destroy the things that they were selling. Jesus dared to upset the temple leaders. He dared to condemn the people. You wonder why he would be doing such a thing. Jesus, in his acts of doing these things, they say he was cleansing the temple. Jesus understood the importance of the temple, a holy place to worship and praise God, but not to make a profit. For what was happening in the temple first started out of convenience, because the people needed to be able to buy items to then offer to God in praise as sacrifice. People then needed to give tithe and offering, but they had Jewish coins or Roman coins. They needed to exchange the money so they had the right coins to be able to give to the temple offering. They were doing all these things, they would say, out of convenience. But what was happening is, as they were giving the sellers money, as they were giving the money changers money, those persons were keeping the money for themselves and growing richer and richer off these people who were just trying to worship and praise God. It's as if you came in one Sunday and everyone has a worship bulletin, or we do about 50 copies each Sunday. And when you think about the worship bulletin, let's see, it costs maybe 5 cents for the ink and maybe another 5 cents for the paper that it's printed on. And let's, of course, add in 5 cents for the copy machine itself. We paid a rental fee or we purchased a copy machine. And then maybe another 5 cents for the electricity it costs to run the copy machine and run the computers that prints out the bulletin. And then, of course, James is always great and he sends me photos that I can use each Sunday. So we would want to pay James maybe 10 cents, you know, about that. And then Yanni, who, of course, is great and edits the worship bulletin for me, another 10 cents. And then maybe another 10 cents for our Sunday people who take the worship bulletin and put it in PowerPoint. So that's about 50 cents right there. But I think I'll charge you a dollar. So every person that comes in, I'll charge a dollar for that worship bulletin. And then I might secretly pocket that 50 cents myself. Don't tell Vince, our SBRC co-chair, vice chair, or other SBRC members. But you would most likely pay that dollar for the worship bulletin. You like the convenience of having the order of worship before you. You like seeing the call to worship, the liturgy that is printed out. You might really enjoy seeing the different photos that we have each Sunday. Or you might use it during the week with announcements that announces upcoming things. The worship bulletin for you is something that is needed, that is valuable, that makes worship and praising God more convenient. So the people who entered the temple, they didn't mean to commit a sin. They meant to be able to worship and praise God fully by buying these items, the doves they needed for sacrifices, the lambs they would use to give in the altar before God, the money that they exchanged, their money in exchange for the Roman money that they needed to give to the temple. They were doing these things with good spirits and hearts in mind to worship God, but they were falling short. They were not realizing that what was happening is the people that they were giving their money to and buying the items from or exchanging their monies with, these people were becoming richer and richer and richer and not giving the money back to the church, but instead keeping the money for themselves. In Matthew Henry's commentary of this morning's scripture passage, he says that Christ came into the temple and he did this amazing thing. He began to identify the hidden evils of what was happening, and he began to cleanse these people and take away their disguises, because they were disguised in worship. They were disguising themselves and offering sacrifices to God. They were doing evil things, though. They were doing ministry in the church, helping the church members and helping the church members be praised and worshipful during service time, but they weren't doing mission of the church. Sometimes we have to remember that the church has ministry and mission. It's wonderful, the college students last month, as they were finishing up their series on the Rick Warren series, Rick Warren in a video talked about how the church has to do both ministry and mission. Ministry is the work that the church does for the people inside the church. We have a wonderful praise team ministry and Sunday school ministries that the church members can go to after worship. We have fellowship groups that is a ministry that we provide for the members of the church, maybe depending on our age level. And the UMW, that's a wonderful ministry. They meet monthly and have devotion time and fellowship time and do service projects for the church as well. These are ministries that are within the church for the people of the church. But the church must also be a church that does mission. Mission is work outside of the church to reach the people who are outside of the church, the people who need the church, and the people who yet do not have Christ in their heart. That is mission. It is bringing the church outside to the people, and it is different than ministry. And when Jesus entered the temple, he saw all the ministry that was happening, people beginning to praise God in the temple areas, people wanting to buy the doves and the sheep and the cattle to offer to God in times of praise in the altar as they were called to do, as their ancestors did, people wanting to be able to offer offering during offering time and exchange the right money so they had the correct items needed. They were doing ministry, but yet what was happening is they were forgetting about the mission. The people outside of the church were no longer being enriched, and the people inside the church were becoming richer and richer and richer. Jesus was so upset when he saw this was happening. He had no words. Instead, he began to vandalize the temple, they say, in his act of cleansing the temple, overturning the tables and condemning the people and telling them that the temple was becoming a den of robbers instead of a place of worship. In this morning's scripture passage, we know that after Jesus did all those things, he also healed a blind man that came into the temple, and he cured this person. Jesus was doing mission to this person. He was healing a person who had come into the temple. For we know of those times a man who was blind and lame had no source of income. He would not have money needed to buy a dove for an offering to praise God. This man might have been a beggar, someone that the temple people would not have welcomed in regularly. But Jesus was performing mission. He was bringing the church outside to this person. And when the chief and the priests and the scribes, they saw him doing those things and they heard the children crying in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they say that they became angry. And they said to him, "Do you hear what these people are saying?" They heard the children crying out into the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Hosanna, a great word. And they were angry. So you might think, okay, well, of course the chief priests and the scribes of the temple were angry because they heard the word Hosanna being shouted to Jesus. They knew about his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, where palm branches were waved and cloaks were laid before his feet and people were shouting Hosanna. And here is why they were angry. We often mistake the word Hosanna for a word of praise. Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We think Hosanna is a declaration of how wonderful then Jesus is, a way to praise him. But Hosanna actually doesn't mean that. The word Alleluia, which we will shout joyfully next Sunday when we say, "Alleluia, Christ is risen," that is a word of praise, of declaration, of a way to say how wonderful we think Jesus Christ is. But Hosanna actually is a different word. So those of you who have palm branches, I think it's mostly in that back, maybe just wave them now and say Hosanna, and everyone look at them and shout Hosanna too. Let's practice Hosanna. Hosanna! 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 So saying the word makes you smile, right? Can anyone say Hosanna without smiling? You know, it's just even the words, the H-O sound makes you smile, and waving the palm branches. So it's a very praise-filled time. But here is what the chief and the chief priests and the scribes truly knew about that word, and what we must understand this Palm Sunday. That Hosanna wasn't a declaration of praise, but instead Hosanna was a begging for help, a cry for mercy. Hosanna was a way for them to say, "Lord Jesus, help us." They say in Hebrew, Hosanna is broken up, meaning Yasha, that means deliver and save, and Anna, A-N-N-A, that means to beg or beseech. So when the people were waving their palm branches and laying the cloaks before Jesus and shouting Hosanna, they were really truly saying, "I beg you, I beseech you to save me, to deliver me. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I beg you, I beseech you, please save me, please deliver me. You come in the name of the Lord." They were doing this wonderful thing. They were recognizing that it is Jesus. Jesus was the one who was to save them. So then it makes us look, doesn't it, differently at Palm Sunday, at that triumphant entry. Yes, it was triumphant for Jesus because people were, yes, praising him. But more importantly, they were recognizing that he, yes, he was the Savior. He was the Messiah. He was the one that would bring God's love and grace and mercy. He was the key to salvation. And that's what makes his entry so much more triumphant. The recognition that it was Jesus who would give them salvation. And that is what made the scribes and the priests angry. For them to then question, to say, "We hear the children crying out in the temple, 'Hosanna to the Son of David.' Do you hear what these children are dare saying?" And Jesus answers them instead by saying, "Yes, I hear them. But you have never read, 'Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself.'" And then he left them with that saying, because he is warning them that they were seeking praise only for themselves, not instead for God. But Jesus knew that he was the one who would lift up God's love and grace and mercy to all to make it possible. We are reminded in the Psalms from Psalm 8, verse 1 to 2, this wonderful passage that says, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, that is set before the glory above heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength, because thy enemies thou hast stillest. Out of the mouths of babes has the Lord ordained strength, for the enemies are then stilled." Jesus is reminding the people that out of the mouths of infants and nursing babes becomes the true word, that strength is given when you say, "Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, I beg you, I beseech you for salvation. I beg you to save me." We must remember to become like infants. And Jesus always said, "Let the children come to me." And yes, in the passage we see literally young children being brought by their parents to Jesus. But Jesus is also reminding that we must be born again to be renewed in him. And remember that salvation is available through him. Not the chiefs, not the scribes, not the pastors, not the worship leaders, not through the coins that are giving an offering or the number of doves or things they bought in sacrifice. But instead, salvation was available through the belief in Jesus Christ, through following Jesus Christ, to become childlike in that belief and truly, fully rely 100% on Jesus Christ. So on that wonderful Palm Sunday when Jesus entered triumphantly into Jerusalem, we see then why he did the things he did in the temple afterwards. He had that great entry where people waved palm branches and were shouting Hosanna, and we know that there is that extra double meaning to the word Hosanna now. And then he dared to go into the temple and upset the people selling the items because he truly knew he needed to drive the evil out of the temple, to cleanse the temple, to tell people to become childlike again in their beliefs and to know to rely on him for salvation. Remember how when you yourself were a child, how you might have believed in many things. You might say you were gullible in a way, but you had no fears, you had no worries, you were childlike in your exuberance. Phil and I attended a wedding yesterday. I officiated another wedding. It was nice to do Christopher Louis' wedding 2 weeks ago, and then it was wonderful to do Ben Morgan. He and his fiance came to our church last year, and I did their wedding yesterday. And part of their reception was they had adult, large-sized childhood games. So they had Jenga, but they were large blocks, so the Jenga game was about this high. They had Connect Four. Hannah and Kathleen and Nicholas at their home, they have a large Connect Four set. It was like that. It was large, like the pieces, you know, Connect Four, those circle things that you were like this big, and you drop it in. They had a large drawing of hopscotch for the adults to play in. But the funny thing was, not really many of the adults played. I think they either felt self-conscious that they would look dumb, or I saw two men playing the Connect Four game, and they took forever between turns. Have you ever seen a child play Connect Four? It's just pieces in, right? They don't really think about the move. And then I watched these two men play Connect Four, and one man would drop his piece in a slot, and then next man would look at it and think and then try to strategize where to drop his piece, and he'd then drop his piece. And the next man would, it went forever. That game took forever. Or the adults would play with the large block-sized Jenga pieces that went up this high. But the thing was, because the pieces were so large, that in the Jenga game, when the tower tumbles over, it made a large, loud crashing sound. It actually startled a lot of people. So the adults stopped playing that game. And then soon, it was the children who were at the reception that were playing these large adult-sized games. The children didn't care. They were having fun. They were enjoying the game. They were being childlike. And sometimes we as adults need to become childlike, to not worry about what we look like or the image we have or if a neighbor or a coworker is going to think we're doing something wrong or acting inappropriately when we want to tell them about God and love in Jesus Christ. We must be childlike and forget those worries that we have as an adult or stresses that we have. We must be childlike and knock on our friend's door and invite them into church, just as we did when we were children and invited friends over to play. You know, we did that freely. We would beg our parents, oh, I met a new friend at school. Can I have them over? Can we play together? We had no fear. We just wanted to be with other children. But then what stops us as adults? When was the last time you knocked on a neighbor's door and invited them over to even fellowship at your house? Or knock on a neighbor's door and go further and invite them into worship with you? What stops us as adults? We must learn, as the children did during Jesus' time, to be childlike and out of the mouths of infants and babes, know that we are ordained by God to do His work, to be strengthened in that. So then, yes, when Jesus cleansed the temple and overturned things and made the chief priests mad, He was doing a childlike thing. He didn't care about their reactions. He was just doing the work of God. And He was reminding them that the children were the ones who shouted Hosanna and knew that true salvation was available through Him. So as we enter Holy Week, I want us to remember how we were as children, with less fears and less worry, to become childlike in our worship and praise for God, so that we can go and invite a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, a loved one even to church, and not have fear of rejection or worry of how they're going to react. But know instead that we are doing mission, reaching out to the church and telling people about the wonderful ministry we have in the church and cleansing the temple itself. So next Sunday we will gather during Easter time, and many of the children will be back from spring break, and we'll have maybe some friends and family come as well. And I invite you to think of another person you might want to invite to Easter Sunday. To remember that when we shouted Hosanna this morning together as a church, we weren't just saying praise God, but we were instead saying, Jesus, You are our salvation. That wonderful recognition that made Jesus' entry into Jerusalem so triumphant, and make Jesus' part of our lives so triumphant as well. Let us pray. Hosanna to You, Lord. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. For we recognize that Jesus is our salvation. In the words of Hosanna, we don't just offer praise, but we know the true meaning, instead saying, we beg You, Lord, to save us, to deliver us. We are so thankful, Lord, for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who did just that as He entered Jerusalem during that time to begin the Passover time, but also Holy Week time for us. For in these next few days, we will also remember the time of His arrest, the time of His trial, the time of His crucifixion. And when we gather again next Sunday, we know that we will be Your resurrection people, for Your Son, Jesus Christ, was sacrificed for us so that we may be cleansed, that the evil will be taken out of us, and that we continue to praise You and love You and honor You, Lord. In Your Son's name, amen.